What's really kind of been on my heart this week is the King and His kingdom. You know, today is Easter. We celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. I mean, that's not the only thing that Jesus did. That's just the completion of what He did. If we look at Jesus' life, He was born the King of the Jews, the King of Kings, that even the wise men saw His star and they came and worshiped Him as the King of Kings, the King of the Jews. When God created the nation of Israel, the nation of Israel was not meant to have a king. The people wanted a king. But God didn't want them to have a king because He was their king. And He wanted them to focus on Him being the king so that when the King of Kings came, He was their king and their only king. But, you know, we as people, we tend to be a little squirrely and we don't want to be weird and we don't want to be odd and we want to just, you know, can we just act like everybody else so that we're not singled out? I mean, that's what they said. They said, we want to be like all the other nations. We're kind of tired of being the oddball, the odd man out. Of course, I mean, they saw God move in miraculous, super powerful ways. I think that would have compensated, honestly, but they wanted a king. And God gave them a king. God gave them a king that they wanted. He gave them King Saul. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was good looking. He was powerful in stature. He was just a good guy. But then he didn't have a heart after God. He was too concerned about what people thought of him. He did what he wasn't allowed to do. He began to sacrifice the offering, which is not right for a king to do. Only the priests, only the priests were allowed to sacrifice. But he decided to go ahead and do it. Why? Because he was afraid the people would leave him. That's what he said. God rejected him. He said, I've rejected you. He said, I will find a man after my own heart. And he found David. A man after God's heart. And that's the type and shadow of Christ. Man wants its own rules. We want to do it our way. And we look to, well, okay, let's set it up in the way that we understand and we can comprehend. The way that we want it. But that's not what God's wanting. God's wanting us to choose His way, not our way. So you had the nation of Israel, which is a nation. It's a group of people that are established by blood. But they kept rejecting God over and over and over and over. And God finally said, enough. I will make a people after my own name. I will call a people after my own heart. And you see in the Old Testament, you see in the prophecies, God begins to speak about creating a new nation, a new people. He says, I will take the stony heart out of them and I will give them a new heart. And so Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself comes on the scene, the one who is called the Word. The Word who was with God was God. In the beginning, where all things were made, He was there, the Word. Knowing the character of God, knowing who God is, He came on the scene and walked through life and He shows us who God is. He says, what you've seen me do, you've seen the Father. I only do what the Father shows me. So He's expressing God. And here He is, throughout His entire life, He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He opens blind eyes. He causes the deaf to hear. He causes the lame, the paraplegic to stand up and walk. He casts out demon. He shows that he has power over sickness and disease. He demonstrates it with signs and wonders, casting out demons. He shows that he has powers over demonic forces and casting them out. He shows that he has power and authority to grow back limbs. Says they had a man with a withered arm, and he says, "Stretch forth your hand." He stretched it forth, and it grew back. Man who had no strength to get up and get himself healed, a paraplegic who couldn't do anything. He says, "Arise and walk." He showed that he had the power to restore that which is broken and damaged and destroyed. He showed that he had authority over the demonic forces that controlled the world. And he's showing how awesome he is in speaking the word of life. And here he is. He has power over all the demonic forces. But there's one that everyone fears. Everyone's terrified of this power called death. Even today, you start talking about death, and there is a palpable fear that comes on people. Some people refuse to talk about it or think about it. They want nothing to do with it. They run away from conversations about it. You know, and you don't dare mention that one day you're going to die. But the reality is we're all going to die. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows inside that one day we'll die, and everybody's terrified of it. And here's Jesus. He says that he's the King of Kings, that he came to bring life and life abundantly. If you believe on me, then you shall have life. You shall have eternal life. He's saying, you'll have eternal life. You know what? He needs to prove that he has power over it. That's what we celebrate today. That Jesus was killed. Says, I have the power, my Father has given me the authority to lay down my life and pick it up. What does that mean? There were several times people tried to kill him, but they couldn't. Because he had the authority to lay down his life and pick it up. And so nobody could take it from him, he could only give it up. Why do you think he said nothing when they accused him? Because he could have stopped it right there. Right in that moment, all he would have had to do is speak the word of God, and it would have been done. There's nothing they could have done to him. But because he remained silent, they accused him unjustly, and they hung him upon a cross because he laid down his life. He chose. Why? Because he needed to prove something. He needed to prove that he had power over death. He needed to fulfill all righteousness. So he died, and he goes down into hell. All of his believers, everybody's like, death comes for us all. We all die. Praise God. You know, he was a good man. He did well. We don't understand. We don't get it. Why? We thought that he was the Messiah come, and he was going to set up his kingdom, and we were going to reign forever with him. They didn't understand. So here they are. One day goes by. You know, they're just trying to figure out what to do next. Where do we go? What do we do? 2 days go by. Well, maybe we need to go back fishing. Maybe we need to look at taking back up our life. Maybe we need to forget all this. No, we can't forget all this. This is life. But I don't know what to do. Third day. The next morning, they hear something that's totally unbelievable. He's not there. What do you mean he's not there? He's not there. He's risen. What? What do you mean? No. You got to be crazy. You got to be crazy. And they run there, and they see the tomb, and it's empty. It's empty. And I know they got to be thinking, who took him? Who took him? Where did he go? Because we see they're normal people. They had normal thoughts. Jesus was always correcting them and trying to get them to think about things in a spiritual context instead of just a natural context. But they considered it. What did Jesus say? After 3 days, I will rise again. He told them. He said, I will rise again. I'm like, well, wait, maybe this is possible. And then Jesus shows up. Hallelujah. He has power over death. The one thing that everyone in this world is terrified over, he has power over. That's why as Christians, we should never be afraid of dying. Because we don't end. We don't cease to exist. We are just not here anymore. We're not in this world anymore. We no longer have to deal with the corrupt flesh and the corrupt society and the perversion of Satan flowing throughout our communities. We're no longer having to deal with that. But now we get to be in heaven with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, where there's no sickness, where there's no disease, there is no perversion, there's no corruption, there's no lies, there's no deceit. There's only life. All that corruption is removed. And we get to truly be who we're called to be. When we live in this life, the whole time we are trying to attain to what God has called us by His grace. And we struggle. But in that moment, it says that we will know even as we were known. That we will see Him face to face. I mean, it'd be nice to know exactly who I'm supposed to be, because I know I'm not there. I know that there's things in my life I look at and I go, that is not supposed to be there. I know that's not of God. Sometimes I don't know how to get rid of it. All I can do is walk this walk. Travel this path with Jesus. But Jesus talks about a kingdom. He says that he preached the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom implies a sphere of influence. There's kingdom, His kingdom, God's kingdom. And He preached the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom has come. The kingdom has come. And He's their king. He's the king, our king. But He had to show the kingdom. He had to prove the kingdom, that it exists, that it's real, and that it has power and authority. It's not a kingdom that we see by doing. It's not, we don't enter into it in a natural sense. But the righteousness, it says that the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom is within us. It's not out there. It's in us. And that kingdom is powerful. It's more powerful than anything that Satan has. The kingdom within us is more powerful than anything Satan has. The kingdom that is within you is more powerful than anything Satan has. Satan will tell you otherwise, but he's lying. If his lips are moving, he's lying. You know, God can heal you. Well, but the devil just lied to you. God can heal you, period, full stop. Well, I don't know, what I've got's pretty bad. He raised people from the dead. He grew back arms. He caused people who were paraplegics to stand up and walk and carry their own bed. You know, we live in a one of the issues that we see a lot of now in our culture is the illegal immigrant issue. And they're all wanting to come to the United States. And they're wanting to come because, well, life is better here than most countries. I've been in some of these countries. I've been in other places, and the United States has a freedom that you don't find in other countries. And the freedom is here because of Jesus Christ. It's because that the believers have created a country that is formed upon the idea of freedom. And it is just a taste of what God's kingdom is like. But everybody wants to move here to this country because they want to be part of that freedom. They want to be able to be free and not under the subjection of others. Even with the current president in office and the current political organization that's in control, we still have more freedom than any other nation in this world. But the kingdom is even more free than that. The Lord's kingdom. You know, everybody's trying to flock to the United States because of freedom. Everybody should be trying to flock to the kingdom of God because the freedom and the power is greater. But if they don't see people of that country, if all of the United States walked around in rags and we just rode on bikes and lived in dirt, nobody would want to move here. They want to move here because we're prosperous, because we're blessed, because we have freedom. It's like, why do people not come to church? Well, because they're, oh, God is so good. Praise the Lord. I'm just suffering for Jesus today. It's supposed to be righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. The devil's gotten in our mix again. And he started to lie to us and saying, you got to be somber. Don't get excited. Now, I'm not an incredibly excitable individual. For most things. When it comes to God, I can get excitable. But for most things, I can sit and watch a game and I'm not typically going to get, yeah! I'm not going to do that. I just don't. But I get excited about God. Can we get excited for God more than we get excited for anything else? The rest of it's just entertainment. You know, it's just fun. This is life. But here's the kingdom. And here's the illustration I want to make. The kingdom of heaven is open to all of those who want to come. It's open for everyone, anywhere, to enter into the kingdom. The only restriction is you must believe upon Jesus. There's no other way to get in. But it's free. It's open. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is saying, come. Come. He's got an amazing immigration policy. He loves immigrants so much so that he wants to make them children. We're all immigrants. We're all adopted. But he sees us no differently. He sees us no differently than he sees Jesus. Think about that one for a few minutes. Meditate on that one this week. That'll change your perspective. He sees us as he sees Jesus because Jesus' righteousness is imputed to us, which means we've taken it on. It's given to us. We are clothed in it. We look like Jesus' righteousness to him. Well, yeah, but I know what I did. That's the whole point. That's why we have his righteousness and not ours, because ours is terrible. it stinks. It doesn't meet up. But Jesus's does. And because we receive Jesus, we have entrance into his kingdom. And as members of his kingdom, we have access to all the benefits of the kingdom. You know, when you become a citizen of the United States, you have access to the benefits of the United States. In the same way, when we enter into the kingdom, we have access to all the benefits. That's the gospel. That God is inviting every person in this world to enter into his kingdom free of charge. You just need to receive the payment that's already been paid. You can't climb the wall. You can't dig underneath it. There is but one way in, and that's Jesus. And he showed that he has power over everything that the enemy has, over sickness, over disease. He even shows that he has power over mental illness. He healed the demoniac who had cut himself, and he would scream and howl, and, you know, probably had various other things that now we would probably have all kinds of terms for it. Back then, they just said, that guy's got demons, plural. But Jesus set him free. Jesus can heal whatever we have. Whatever the devil's throwing at us, he can heal us. Not only does he want to heal us, but he wants to restore us. He wants us to walk in a blessing. He wants us to be a blessing in this world. You know, I know and have heard of individuals who were unsaved heathens, and they were terrible, terrible people when they worked on their jobs. They were not good. They were not honest. They were a pain in the butt. Then they got saved and they became some of the best employees the company ever had, because the kingdom came into their heart and they turned from being a curse to being a blessing. Because the power of God is so great, so awesome, and so powerful that can take a sinner and make them a saint. Some of us were there. Some of us know what I'm talking about. But God wants to make us into way more than what we consider. Jesus, talking about John the Baptist, said John the Baptist is the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Okay? Greatest. Means that he was more powerful than Elijah and Elisha, than Daniel. You know? Name your prophet. Says he's the greatest. Says, but the least in the kingdom is greater than him. The least in the kingdom is greater than the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. That means you. That means you are greater than the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. You, individually, you are greater than all the Old Testament prophets. Because for one thing, you have something that they never had. You have God Almighty residing on the inside of you. God couldn't do that in the Old Testament because the price for sin had not been paid. God could not dwell in humans because sin was present. There was no, it hadn't been paid for. Sin has now been paid for. And he has the right and the freedom to inhabit humans based on the righteousness of Christ. You have a greater revelation than any of the Old Testament prophets. You have a greater relationship than any of the Old Testament prophets. You have greater access to power and ability than all of the Old Testament prophets. You know, we see people wanting to be an Old Testament prophet when we are far greater than they are. Because we have something that's much more powerful. We are children of the living God. Children of the living God. In a family, I want to choose my words carefully here. In a family, who is it that set the rules for the house? I know I'm stepping on some toes. The parents do. The parents do. The father and the mother working together decide how the family is going to run. What does it look like? How is it supposed to function? God the Father is the Father. He's the head of the house. He determines how the house runs. You know, and in reality, I'm just the sibling who's been given responsibility to make sure all of you squirrely ones are doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, God places people within the family to make sure that the family's moving in the direction. You've got a large family, you've got to delegate. I mean, I didn't grow up in a large family, but I've seen some large families. They delegate. Okay, you take your brother and sister and go do that. And you take them and, you know, you're gonna stay at home and no, you can't go out, you need to stay at home. You know, it's just like there's delegation that happens. God has a very large family. Very large. And some of those families, a large portion of the family is still trying to figure out who they are. Still trying to figure out who they are in God. We all are called into that family. We're all part of that family. And God wants us to grow and mature in what it is that He has called for us. Because He loves us. Because He has a plan and purpose for us. Because He wants to see us enter into the fullness of what we have for Him. What He has for us. Because when we walk in that fullness, He gets glory. Our Father. You know, you ever seen a family that works, that's really, the kids are raised really well? What do they say? Oh, you did a great job raising your family. You have great parents. Because they know who sets the agenda. They knew who raises the kids. God's the one that says, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. This is how it's going to happen, that's how it's going to happen. How the church functions is based on what God desires. Like I shared earlier, Israel wanted it their way. They wanted their own king. They wanted to be like everybody else. But that's not the way God wanted it. We need to be seeking what God the Father, how God wants us to have things run, because that's the best way. Because He knows how it works. He knows how it functions from generation to generation to generation. The gospel of the kingdom. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The kingdom is open. The kingdom is open. We just have to believe that Jesus did what was necessary for us to enter into the kingdom. That's the reality of it. We are blessed beyond measure. We are blessed beyond what we comprehend and understand. We're just starting to grasp the basics of this kingdom. And I want more. I want to see more. I want to see his name glorified. I want to see his name lifted up. And I want to see you walking in the fullness of what God has for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for Jesus who died upon the cross to set us free. We thank you, Lord, that we have his righteousness because he was willing to lay down his life for us and that we've been called into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have access to everything in you and that you love us. That you love us not just as servants, but that you love us as your own children. That you see no difference between us and Jesus, that we look like Jesus to you. And you want us to grow in the fullness of that. Lord, help us to begin to see and understand that truth so that we can begin to walk out this great mystery, this great power, this great kingdom in this world. And cause people to desire to enter into it so that you can have more people, more glory, more honor. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. He is risen, and you are blessed. Have a wonderful week.